Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to start here tonight. I want you to keep your Bibles out. We are going to use them. I have illustrations to use to keep your attention even. I have pictures, live pictures for you to illustrate. So you help me tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start reading in verse number 19. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. All right. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, watch this, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, look at me very carefully here. I'm going to restate some things that we've talked about through many weeks, and then we're going to jump into new material here. The whole purpose of separation, if this represents God, our goal as a Christian is to get as close to God in fellowship and stay there as we can, correct? God made us to fellowship with Him, okay? So, there are things, though, because we're sinners, that hinder us from being close to Him. Separation doesn't mean just giving this up. It means giving that up in an effort to get closer to here. Everybody understand that? Okay, that's where we're at. Now, listen to me very carefully. God is perfect. God is holy. We are sinful. Because of this, we have to separate from things that keep us from His holiness. I've said it before. Separation is not a badge. Look at me. I'm separated. It is not a badge that you wear. It is a relationship. Last week, I used the illustration, it is a uniform. Okay? Remember, we had the military uniform, the nurse's uniform. We had Brother Stoltz up here with his propane company. I almost said his roach uniform, but that wasn't going to come out right. Roach propane and roach gas. it just is getting worse here. Let's just keep going. And others that we had. So your separation is the uniform. Now, wearing the uniform does not make you separated. You wear the uniform because you're separated. That uniform represents the authority of the one whom you represent. For instance, if I put on a police officer's uniform and went up and down and started stopping traffic, guess what? I'm going to jail. Well, I got a police officer's uniform on. You can't do that. Impersonating an officer, you're going to get in trouble. Well, I got the uniform. That doesn't make you have the authority. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Just like there are people who dress the right way, but it does not make them separated. But a separated person will dress a certain way. I said this also last week. Standards are our uniform. Watch this. But standards are not the ceiling. They are the bottom. They are the base. They are the bare level, entry level. They are not the ceiling. Brother Smith's Marine uniform that he had last week. You're issued a standard uniform you must wear. Then, as you earn rank, as you earn honor and medals and things, you add to it, but the base uniform stays the same. I downloaded this week and looked at the Marine Corps standard uniform. It's amazing what's involved in that. They talk about the length of hair. They talk about what you have to wear. They talk about how long it is, how short it is, how tight it cannot be. They talk about tattoos, ear piercings. They talk about the length of a woman's hair. They talk about fingernails. They talk about it all. They talk about where you can and cannot go. Huh. That's not the Bible. That's the military. Say why? Because you represent them. There's a certain protocol that you are to follow if you wear that uniform. So, According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, God owns the body of every believer. Look at it. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we are going to go from there into what we would know as standards. Let me show you something. We're not going to turn there yet. But in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. If you remember, through the first 5 days of creation, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, divide the waters from the land, and divide the firmament from above, the firmament from below. And God said, and it was so. And God was pleased, right? For the first 5 days of creation, everything that God created, he did it by speaking, correct? On day six, there was only one creation, man. By the way, it's the only creation that God reached down, took the dust of the earth, and formed it in his hands. Then God breathed into man the breath of life. But man is the only creation God took the time for to actually use his hands with. That's how much he cares about you. He wanted it exactly the way his hands molded you. Now, let me say this. In all of this, God said he was pleased, correct? He was pleased with man. Say, why? The Bible says there's only two things that please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, correct? It also says righteousness pleases him. So for man to please God, he must be faithful and righteous. Okay? Very important statements. Here we go. God then saw that man needed a wife. And God performed the first surgery. Genesis chapter 2. He put man to sleep. He opened up his chest, took a rib from near the heart of man, and from that created woman. By the way, that was to show how close to man's heart the woman was to be. She was supposed to be near and dear his heart. She was not supposed to be on the ground, stepped under his feet. Now, all was going well for this husband and wife. God came down daily and fellowshipped, walked in the garden with them. By the way, it's interesting, every day. They had sweet fellowship together, the way God intended. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Brother Barnes, that's the first book of the Bible. Okay? Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Watch this. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were, what's the next word? Naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves, what's the next word? Aprons. Now look at me. Up until this point in time, Adam and Eve are on the face of the earth. They are in fellowship with God, but they are not clothed. They are naked and do not know it. Say, why? Because they were full of faith and they were righteous. There was no sin. The moment man sinned, the moment he sinned, the Bible says they looked at each other and knew they were what? Naked. What's the very next thing they did? The Bible says they took fig leaves, sewed them together, and made aprons. Now watch this. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was, what's the next word? Naked. And I hid myself. Watch this. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, The woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And then you look down, and let's see here. The Bible says that God, verse number 21, And unto Adam and also his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. Now, look at me. Here is a very, very important teaching for you. The righteousness of man had been tainted by sin. Let me ask you a question. There were only two people on the face of the earth. Why did they need to be clothed? Was there another man that would look at Adam's wife and lust after her? But the first thing they want to do is cover it up. Say why? Because man was no longer righteous, and he was trying to become righteous his own way. Everybody doing okay? Okay. We're going somewhere. Hang on. No longer was his purity as God's. Man's attempt to cover his and her body was not adequate. Man's sin impaired his ability to do things as God wanted. God had to start with covering them. Let me illustrate. By the way, I'm going to illustrate here. Autumn, can I have you come up here for a minute? I'm not going to make you talk. I'm not going to embarrass you. But the Bible says the first thing that they did is sewed fig leaves together and made aprons. There's an apron. She'll put that on. There you go. Tie it around the back. Doesn't cover a whole lot, does it? They made aprons to cover themselves. But Josh, come on up here for a second. God made them coats. Now, if you'll listen to me, the whole premise is right here. Go ahead and button that air, close it up there. Maybe you gained enough weight from your mother's cooking this summer. You can't, huh? Man is not a good judge of covering his body. This is God's plan. This is man's plan. Everybody doing okay? Now, don't get mad at me. This is the Bible. Man did not see what God wanted covered because man was tainted by sin. His righteousness was not as righteous as God. The word, this is man's thoughts. This is God's thoughts. Remember the verse in Isaiah 55? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Now, let remind you, there are no other people on the face of the earth to look at them. Nobody else was there. So it's a matter of righteousness. By the way, what a beautiful picture of salvation. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Stay up here with me. I'm going to need you all the rest of the service. You're not going to fall asleep tonight. Romans chapter 10, and that's not intended for her. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Israel is that they might be, what's the next word? Saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Watch this. For they, being ignorant of whose righteousness? Look up here. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish, look at me, their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Do you know what salvation is? Man saying, I can't do it on my own. I need what God did for me to get there. It is an act of saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I've tried my good works, but my good works still have sin. I need what you have done. So God clothes us spiritually. By the way, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He buys both of them at salvation. Now, listen very carefully. They needed to cover themselves to meet with God and be close to him. Because in that, they were not righteous. In that, they became righteous. By the way, when you try to get to heaven on your own, you can't be righteous enough. You need God's righteousness imputed to you. We'll get there. Now, the coats covered the same thing for the man and the woman. Everybody doing okay? Okay. In the fact that they were covered, they now pleased God. They now had fellowship restored. They could now talk with God, meet with God. Because they are now righteous. In this, they could not meet with God. They hid themselves. Now, listen very carefully. I'm going to say this over and over. You're welcome at this church, no matter how you dress, at any point in time. Everybody hear that? But since God bought you with a price, this is his house, this is his book, I'm bound by God to tell you what he expects of you. If I ask you to do things in the church in the leadership role, work in the nursery, teach Sunday school, sing, play musical instruments, it only makes sense to me that we live by God's standard. And I feel obligated to teach you what it is scripturally. But you're welcome to come no matter what. And those of you that want to roll your pharisaical snoot in the air, I hope it rains and you drown. Did I say that nicely enough? Okay. I can explain that a little further if you don't understand it. But I think I did the job. Now, tonight we're going to look at God's standards for dress. Probably going to take us a couple weeks. Now, number one, God originally clothed man in righteousness and still wants us clothed that way to fellowship with him. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to turn to a couple different verses here. Okay, I know it's in here. I'm in the right book. Isaiah chapter 55. Yeah, it's right after chapter 54. I know. Thanks, Brother Smith. Isaiah chapter 55. Look at verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is, what's the next word? Near. Seek him so that you can call on him when he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man in his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 61. Just a few pages over. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 10. Watch this. The Bible says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me, watch this, with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Look at me. Salvation clothes our spirit and restores that ability to fellowship. But the Bible also says we are robed in righteousness. Everybody doing okay? It doesn't say aproned. It says robed in righteousness. Here we go. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All the way back in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read quickly here, verses 1 through 5. I know you're still turning. You'll catch up with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, everybody look at me. God says we ought to want to not just clothe our spirit, but also our tabernacle, that temporary dwelling where the Holy Spirit dwells. That's your body. So God says, so that we be not found naked. Now, sin causes man to want his own righteousness to be enough. Do you ever wonder why we have to go to, when we're winning someone to Christ, we don't have to, but often we'll go to Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Oh, we're not righteous because we're wearing an apron. We're going about to establish our own righteousness and have not submitted ourselves unto the righteousness of God. So we can't clothe ourselves for salvation because of the lack of righteousness. Now watch this. An apron and a coat are two different things. The word apron literally means a belt for the waist or half girding from the shoulder to the waist. That's it. The word coat means to cover from the shoulder, upper arm, and all the way below the knee. There's a word in the Bible used called undersetter. The undersetter, if you had a bird bath, I didn't bring one here because we had too many bird brains, but a bird bath, it sits on a pedestal. You all know what I'm talking about. You got the post, you got that base, and then you got your bird bath, and the pedestal sits here. The undersetter is that base. God says a coat covers here, here, all the way down to the undersetter. Everybody doing okay? Okay, here we go. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. You say, well, what did Jesus wear? I'll show you what God says Jesus is wearing. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse number 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Sounds like he was covered, doesn't it? Doesn't sound like he was wearing flip-flops and shorts and a tank top, huh? Sounds like he was covered, not naked. Okay. God's clothing man is a picture of salvation. God changed their clothing to restore their fellowship after salvation. When God killed the animals and gave man coats, there was blood that had to be shed for them to get their coats. Guess what? For you to get saved, there had to be blood shed to cover your sins and to restore the fellowship. Oh, I'm having fun here. Hang on. By the way, they had to accept the gifts from God instead of running around naked, just like you must accept salvation. Now, God is holy, God is righteousness, and God cannot dwell or even be around unrighteousness. True? Okay. This is why when you get saved, listen to this statement. Do you realize if you never sinned, you would still die and go to hell? It takes more than being sinless. It takes righteousness. It takes righteousness also. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Lest you think I'm teaching you heresy. I am not. Romans chapter 4, here we go. Verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Skip down to verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. Look at me. When you get saved, God imputes, he puts on your record the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God looks down at your salvation, he sees Mrs. Smith and says, not only has she not sinned, but I see the righteousness of Jesus Christ on her life. Every good thing and every righteous thing Jesus did at salvation is added to your account. Because all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Hello. So we need pure, holy righteousness to please God and fellowship with him. Boy, this is good stuff. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 12. We won't take time to turn there. Because of imputed righteousness, God only sees Jesus' righteousness on your account. Now, I'll read Hebrews 8, 12 to you. If you can get there fast enough, you can, but I'm reading now and going on, so hang in there. Hebrews 8, 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He says, I'm not going to look at your unrighteousness because Jesus' righteousness is put on your account, and I won't remember your sin or your iniquity anymore. That's what God does for you at salvation. That ought to make you praise God for a while. Now, for us to fellowship with God, though, we must be clothed upon with righteousness. Now, what does God say about nakedness? This is not this is not my opinion. Okay? I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you scripture. You take it up with God. That's all I can tell you. Now, we know what to be totally naked means. That means like when you was birthed. That's why Job said, naked came I into the world, naked shall I leave. You came with no clothes on. Okay? We know what total nakedness is. Turn to Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. Let's see what God says about nakedness. Isaiah 47, verse number 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Watch this. Make bare what? The leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Okay, look at me. The Bible says, by the way, these aren't Isaiah's words, these are God's words. God says for us to make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, its nakedness. That's not nakedness. If all she had was the apron on, that would be nakedness. Correct? That means the thigh has to be covered. By the way, the definition, you look it up in a dictionary, it is the area from the bottom of the knee to the hip. From the bottom of the knee to the hip. Did you know? I did not know this till this week. But fortunately, my secretary is an ag major. Did you know that in nature, virtually every species of animal, including all but about three kinds of birds, are clothed all the way down to the knee? Even a chicken. Them chicken legs you eat, you got to take the feathers off all the way down below the knee. Doth not nature itself teach you? Everybody doing okay? They're covered all the way. God covered all of the creation before man. Why would he want less of man than he wanted from the creation he spoke into existence? Everybody doing okay? Okay, here we go. Any human is naked if they show their thigh in any position, not just standing. Standing, seated, bent over, or any other position. Everybody doing okay? That's God's definition. By the way, it doesn't say ladies only. I think it's just as wrong for a man to walk around with his thigh exposed. He's just as naked as a woman is. Now, just so you know, it's going to catch my eye more if it's a woman. If it's you, it isn't going to catch my eye, fellas. Ain't no hairy-legged man in the world ever attracted me. Thank God. Now, let me show you something here. I did a little shopping at Goodwill this week. Pair of shorts. Coat or apron? Big ones, too. Coat or apron? Nakedness, right? That goes over there. And yet, we Christians would, without biblical teaching, not think twice about it. I'll show you something else. Now, this is supposed to be a lady's skirt. Not going to cover a whole lot. I got some 4 or 5 year old girls in here this wouldn't be long enough for. Coat or apron? Why? Shows nakedness. Okay? Next. I'm going to get in trouble. Hang in there. Been hot out. Bathing suit. Let me ask you a question. Covered? Coat? Or apron? Less than apron. I'm not even bringing the other one out that we got. Because it's not one piece. That's not even underwear. And yet you put funny colors on it, and it's okay. If I asked one of you ladies to bring your underwear here and let me put it on the pulpit, you'd be upset. But I can pull that out, and the world says it's fine. What's the difference? Just because it's a different color? Okay, here we go. Ladies, how about what you wear around the house? Bedtime. They call that a nightshirt. Coat? Or apron? Put that on a full-size lady, it's not going to cover everything, correct? Apron. I'm not saying you can't wear that, but if that's all you're wearing, you ought to be only in your room locked in there by yourself. Because if you're walking around, God says you're naked. Man, is it getting quiet in here? Okay. That's a decent skirt there, isn't it? Probably long enough to fit her. Way too wide. I've learned well, haven't I? Trouble, though. Look what's back there. If that skirt just comes to the bottom of the knee, there's probably about 6 inches of slit in that thing. What's going to happen when she walks or when she sits down or when she bends over? Knees exposed. According to God, is that acceptable? Not according to you, but according to God. Why? Nakedness goes over here. Okay. What do they call that? Sundress? Something like that. Coat? Nope. Not much more than the apron. Not much at all. What did you tell me they called these things? Crop top? That's a whole shirt, they say. You got ripped off. Matter of fact, they ripped a whole lot off. Coat or apron? Man's righteousness, God's righteousness. Folks, I didn't go out and spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I went to Goodwill to illustrate what people do. I didn't tell you what the line is. I let God tell you. I know this. This was man's attempt at righteousness. This is what God said he wanted. Now, ladies, I'm not saying you walk around with hats, scarves, cover your face, and nothing but your shoes show at the bottom of your skirts. Okay? I'm not telling you that. But I do know this, according to God, if your thigh is showing, you're naked. Fellas, same for you. That means, fellas, the stupid style that's out where you... Why didn't anybody want to pay $100 for a pair of jeans that they put holes all the way up and down the stupid things, both sides? Good night. If you got your thigh showing, you're naked. It goes for the guys, too. By the way, these are not my pet peeves. These are God's standards. Everybody doing okay? Okay, you two can have a seat. I might need you back up here at the very, very end in a couple minutes. I think I can fly through this if you'll give me just about 3 minutes over. Exodus 32:5, don't turn there. You remember the story? Aaron and the people of Israel, Moses and Joshua on the mount getting the tables of stone, the law and the blueprints for the tabernacle. They come down. Joshua says, I hear war. He says, no, I hear music. They looked out. There was a golden calf. They were playing the wrong music, dancing around the golden calf, singing the wrong music. And the Bible says they were what? Naked. Wrong music creates people to take their clothes off. I'm going to make this statement with the same passage. So does wrong religion. Wrong religion lets people take their clothes off and says it's okay. Contemporary Christian music. Jim and Tammy Baker, or Faker, or whatever you want to call them. 700 Club. You get into all the Joel Osteens and all this crowd. It's okay. The living room, or I call it the outhouse mentality. Folks, wrong religion says it's okay. I didn't say that. God did. Okay? Job 22:6. I'm going to read some of these so that you don't think Brother Bush is just totally cracked up. I don't want you saying, well, Brother Bush said. Brother Bush didn't say, God said. It's not a matter of what I say. It's a matter of what God says. Job 22, it's in the Bible here. Hang on. Job 22:6, for thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught and stripped the naked of their clothing. Do you realize you can be clothed and still naked? It said they stripped the clothing from the naked. Did you catch that? Okay. Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. You don't need to turn there, but I am. I'm going to read you a few verses. I'm just going to list the verse, what it says, and tell you what the principle is. Ezekiel 16, I'm going to read two verses here, one now and one in a moment, as soon as I get there. Ezekiel 16, verse number 22. The Bible says, "And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms hast thou not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood." You know, nakedness is more of a problem with the younger generation than the older. You'll struggle with it more the younger you are. Everybody okay? It's a fact. Okay? Ezekiel 16, verse 36, same chapter. "Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give them." It's talking about a sheer material here. It says, through thy nakedness. It literally means there was sheer material. Did you ever notice the new Hollywood styles? Hollywood, the new thing in Hollywood is, let's not wear undergarments and show everybody what we got. Or let's wear it and just wear a mesh net over top of it. Man, it's quiet in here. Okay. Leviticus chapter 18. I'm only going to read just a very couple verses here, but I'll give you the whole passage. Leviticus 18, verses 6 through 18. We're only going to read the first couple verses here. Verse number 6, "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister." Verse 10, "The nakedness of thy sons and thy daughters." Verse 11, "The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter." Your stepchildren. And we could go through this whole passage. Can I tell you something? It's not smart to run around your house unclothed. By the way, biblically naked means showing your thighs. That means mixed swimming's out if you're wearing nakedness to go swimming. It's almost unheard of anymore. The old generation calls it mixed bathing. But younger generations, what do you mean, more than one person in a bathtub? They don't understand what that term means. You ought not go swimming half naked everywhere. Well, it's only my family. Incest is on the rise in America like never before. I didn't say it, God did. I'm not against you swimming. I know how to swim. I swim pretty well. Hello, I hear a pizza. No. I'm for it. I think you ought to be clothed when you go swimming. Okay. Say, so, yeah, we weren't. We called it skinny dipping. Yeah, at your age now they call it chunky dunking. Amen. All right. John chapter 21. That was pretty good, wasn't it? John chapter 21. I'm going to read one more verse and I'll be done. You like that, didn't you, Brother Gus? All right, John chapter 21, verse number 7. "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and had cast himself into the sea." Peter wasn't out on a fishing boat with nothing on, just so you know. Now, people laugh at me when I say this, but if you've ever been out on the boat in the water, the sun reflects off that water, and if you had nothing on, you are one miserable pup. He had only his tunic on, which is basically a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. And when he saw and found out that it was the Lord, he knew he was naked. He threw his fisher's coat on. You say, what was it? It was like about as thick as a sheet, but it was colored. He could throw it on around him. He jumped and swam in it. It wasn't my trench coat. But it covered as much as that coat would cover. Say why? Because he was naked. By the way, Peter wasn't just casually out for the day fishing. He had gone back into the business of fishing. By the way, where you work, you ought not be naked. The principle is, I don't care where you work, you don't become naked to work there. Well, what if, then you find another job if you have to. Say why? Because that's your obligation to God. By the way, I've never met any place yet that was a decent place to work at that wouldn't work with you ladies. Just so you know. Fellas, they want you to cover up what you got. Trust me. You don't have to work naked. Everybody doing okay? Okay. God is very clear. We cannot, nor will we be able to fellowship with him when we're not clothed with righteousness. When we go about to clothe ourselves with unrighteousness, we lose fellowship with God. By the way, ladies, men, put your bathing suit on, go soul winning. What kind of results are you going to get? Can I tell you why? You don't represent him well. You're not wearing his uniform. You don't have the authority behind you. I'm not mad. I'm not asking you to go home and do anything other than look at the scripture and let God do the rest. That's all I ask. I can only tell you what God's standard is. You have to decide from there to what level you'll obey so that you can get as close to him as possible. You're welcome here no matter what, just so you know. Now, ladies, you're not going to get up and sing in church dressed like that, though. I'll close with this. Brother Hiles used to preach a lot with Dr. John Rice. They were in a church one night. Lady got up in a miniskirt and started singing a song. Dr. Rice was not known for his tact. Dr. Rice was not a very flamboyant personality. Matter of fact, kind of plain Jane. He got up to the pulpit and looked over his glasses and said, "Now that that whore's done singing, let's get to the preaching." Dr. Rice said that. I didn't. He made his presence known in a hurry. Now you know why he called his paper the sword of the Lord, all right? Because he wielded it a lot. Now, he didn't say it real loud. He wasn't trying to be mean. But he made his point. By the way, that was back in the 1960s. What makes it right today? God's standard of nakedness. Man says apron. But your thoughts are not his thoughts. Your ways are not his ways. God says apron, not good enough. You need a coat. You need to cover all the way down. Say why? Because your sinlessness alone does not please God. It's the righteousness of Christ added to your life so that you can have fellowship restored with God the Father. Our goal is to be righteous, not sinless. I don't care how many good works you do, you could not live up to what Jesus Christ did. That's why we have to have his righteousness added to our account. I told somebody this week, that's why Jesus came and lived 33 and a half years. It took that much of a perfect person living the righteousness to pay for our salvation. It takes that much after we're saved, imputed to our life to please God. Otherwise, why did Jesus have to spend so much time here? Apron. In some cases, I'll take the apron over what was there. I'll take the fig leaf over what was there on some of those. Because it would cover more. And by the way, the new styles, you know, the wedding dresses that barely cover anything from about here up and nothing in the back? That's an apron. Well, it's long down here. Yeah, but the apron covers more than, you know, the apron doesn't go down. It's only the top part. Aprons are coats. God's standard about nakedness. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, not trying to make anyone mad. I'm not trying to push my way. I can show you what God says, and you must decide for yourself the rest. But I promise you, enough scripture to prove it. That much I promise you. I don't know. Don't know what you need to do in your life. By the way, fellas, be careful what you look at. Careful looking at nakedness, please.